Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The executive producer is Howard Denaroff. Now, for Ian Rappaport, Terrell Davis, and Rich Eisen, I'm Scott Graham. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to NFL Insider on Westwood One.
WEEI Studios, brought to you by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified.
The home of the Greg Hill Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Sports Radio 93.7, WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston.
An Odyssey station. The hosts at WEEI rarely want them to speak.
You are a bunch of dumb MFers.
Nope. Shut up!
They put up with absurd requests for the past week.
Go to the Crack Shack, tell them Mutt sent you.
And now they've left the control room to get behind the mic.
You're marketing abrasiveness, and it's changing talk radio.
This is the WEEI Producer Show.
It is what it is.
With Tyler Devitt.
Mitch Billy. Trubisky, a 2018 Pro Bowl. I'm making your point.
Thank you, Tyler, a friend of mine. So, but the ceiling, I do think, is
John Anderson.
And I'm dead. I am hanging on by a thread, my friend.
John, you got something, as I made love over the weekend.
Last night, I made love to the porcelain telephone.
And Ryan Garvin.
Subterfuge.
Think I'm not going to be here on Friday. You, Ryan.
On WEEI.
That is right. This is the home of the Crack Shack. This is the WEI Producer Show. John Anderson, Ryan Garvin. Hi. I am Tyler Devitt. The Producer Show is usually produced, as always, by Nick LePan, but we love to have Justin Turpin with us today. Good morning, Justin. Glad to have you with us.
Surf and Turpin.
Fresh, hot,
like
open.
Justin better than Nick.
1 hour of hot, flaming football. Wild card weekend takes, guys, coming your way until 9 o'clock with the Ken and Curtis Show following us. We were talking about it, Ryan, before the open fire. We were listening to Westwood One, of course, intently, but we were discussing super wild card weekend. Where does it rank for you in terms of like these sports weekends? For me, it is number two. I love this weekend.
I see you're a college sports guy.
Yes.
So
March Madness,
and
number
I am
one.
Not. March Madness can kick rocks. I think this is the best weekend in sports. I love the idea now of games all throughout Sunday, Saturday, Monday. Just sit down. It's 3 degrees outside. I'm going nowhere. We're going to do this show.
I wasn't leaving the house anyway.
I'm going
home. So I might as well have football games on the
entire
time.
I'm
going
to wrap up and I'm going to make some great food.
And it's not like nine football games at the same time either.
No.
It's not too much to keep up with. It's one. I just sit and I watch one. I don't got to worry about having, you know, Patriots on one screen, Red Zone on another, my fantasy matchup on the other. It is one game. I have, now I have financial stakes in it since I have replaced one vice with another as I drive up to New Hampshire at 9 o'clock after the show.
Oh, no.
However,
Come
for
on,
the most part,
lawmakers.
You are just
Let's
watching
go.
And enjoying the game.
You better have your shoes when I see you on Monday, Anderson.
The one minor complaint I would have about the weekend is I don't like that Monday night football matchup. I think we should have three games today, 1-4, 8:30. Sunday, 1-4, 8:30. That would be a perfect weekend, and then we come back on Monday, recap it all.
I mean, are the Rams or Cardinals guaranteed that they will play Sunday next week at least? Because it's one thing during the season to go from Sunday to Thursday and then from Monday to Saturday or something. But I feel like they really shouldn't be messing with the whole like rest advantage in the playoffs when they one of them may have to face a team that is coming off of a bye week anyway. So it's already, or maybe that's the way they look at it. They're like, ah, the Packers got an extra week anyway. What's one less day of prep for the Rams or Cardinals?
No, I think they got their best matchup on Monday also. I think out of all the games that we're going to see this weekend, I actually think that Monday night game might sneakily be the most entertaining game out of everything. Yeah, I'm ready. It's 3 degrees outside. I'm wearing 8 hoodies right now. None of us want to take our hats off. I cannot wait to get this started with, Vegas and Cincinnati, which will apparently determine who has to take the polar plunge in our Merloni and Fourier bet segment that we did yesterday. That was the big lock for Christian and Lou. And basically, whoever loses that has to take a nice icy dip into some cold body of water wearing a, what's the term, Tyler? Is it a Borat mankini?
It's a Borat-style banana mankini.
Banana mankini.
It's where the straps come like down from your shoulders and basically makes a V going down to your groin area. So that is a banana-style mankini worn by either Fitzy, Lou, or Christian.
And by the
way,
people voted for it. People voted for it at Maloney Fourier.
Look,
That's what they wanted to see.
I feel I'm an inclusive person.
Yeah.
That getup makes me uncomfortable.
I don't need to see any of the guys. I can handle most things.
I can't really. That's too much for me.
And I'm sure, like, this will probably be something done off the air. We can't have Fourier go down to the Charles River and jump in there at 2:30 while we're on the air. Can't happen.
Right there,
so, of course, I probably have to go there and, document the whole thing for the Maloney Fourier Instagram.
Yep.
I'm not happy about it. But anyways, I am happy to talk about the game coming up here, which is, nearly 12 hours from right now. 8:15 kickoff at Buffalo.
What, the Celtics?
Yeah. Tuukka Rask. We'll get to Tuukka's return.
All eyes
coming
on
up.
Are you really happy to talk about the game? This has felt like Super Bowl week. Now, I'm
full disclosure. I'm sick of talking about this game.
Okay.
This feels like a Super Bowl week. You mentioned it and you're 100% right about it. This feels like the longest buildup to a playoff game I've ever experienced. And I'm not even a fan of this team. And I'm so tired of talking about, what if Josh Allen? He's not good in the cold. He might have to take some Viagra to help his circulation.
I'm very sick of the one variable rule with saying a quarterback is good or bad in something. It's like 31 degrees isn't good. It's like, okay, but like what if add in like wind or no wind as well? Like it's never just 31 less or more than 31 degrees. There are other things going into the game that usually indicate that has some sort of bearing on the outcome of it. You know, does he have injuries on his team? Do the Patriots have injuries on their team? 31 degrees is a very bold stance to take as being the only thing that goes into Josh Allen playing well or not playing well.
Do you guys think that the Patriots are talented enough, a good enough football team for tonight's contest to actually win the game if they do not get Buffalo's help? Andy Hart was on Merloni and Fourier on Thursday, and he made the case that the Patriots just aren't a good enough football team right now as currently constructed to win the game if Buffalo plays their game as well. If both teams bring their A game, the Patriots lose. They need Buffalo to have some self-inflicted mistakes in order for New England to walk out of Buffalo with a win. Do you guys agree with that?
I would say that I disagree with that because there are parts of the Patriots that we got used to this season as going into games saying like, okay, Matt Judon's going to have, we know he's going to have 2 sacks and 6 pressures this game. He's got 1 in the last five weeks. So that we can't count on. Can't count on Mac Jones not throwing an interception. Not something we can count on. But you go to the Buffalo sign, you can't count on their rookie left tackle Spencer Brown blocking anything. That's not something that they can count on anymore. They can't count on Josh Allen being able to throw the ball because aside from the time he played the Patriots, he hasn't exactly done that very well in the last month as well. You also can't count on when Josh Allen does throw the ball well, his receivers catching the ball, third most drops in the last month. So while there are stuff you can't count on for the Patriots, there are plenty of stuff that you can't count on for the Bills as well. It's not like the Bills are this pristine team coming in. They have deficiencies as well. They have parts of their game that have fallen off as the season has gone on as well. That really tells me that all they need to do is stop Josh Allen from running the ball because that is how they went 4-0 down the stretch when they needed to. And aside from that Patriots game, it was because Josh Allen ran the ball.
Yeah.
That is why they won.
I guess I'm just going to get it out of the way now. I actually think the Patriots can win this game, which going back to the very beginning of the
statement there.
Well, at the start of the year, this was a 9-8 football team in my mind. I did not think they were going to make the playoffs. And I felt vindicated saying that after the first couple weeks, looking at how bad they were playing. I can't ignore, you know, competition or otherwise, I can't ignore the 7-game win streak that they rattled off and just say, well, that doesn't matter. No, it should make a difference. When you look at both of these teams, yes, the Bills are very good. Yes, they won the division. I'm very happy for them. However, I don't think that Buffalo is head and shoulders better than what the Patriots can do when the Patriots are playing their best game. I think the Patriots, if the Patriots are playing the game that they want to play, it's going to be running and it's going to be
low scoring.
Yeah, low scoring, rock fight. The thing that always helped them during the win streak is they would just beat their opponent into a point where it seemed like they didn't want to play anymore. You could always see around the third quarter, it's like Ramondre Stevenson would end up ripping off like a 40-yard run, and that was due in part because the other team just was tired of getting hit over and over and over again. We talked to Rodney Harrison on Thursday, who said, like, you know, that the cold weather, whether you want to crap on it or not, it does make a difference to these players. Everyone's going to be cold, and you don't want to be hit there. So it's going to be freezing cold, much like it is outside today. It's going to be very cold in Buffalo tonight. I like the Patriots' chances. Obviously, what they did towards the end of the year was not great, but I feel pretty good going into this game. Maybe it is just the whole rubber match thing where, yeah, Bill Belichick gets the opportunity to game plan for a team that he has already seen twice this year, which should also count for something in the sense that, yeah, he's going to be ready. There shouldn't be anything for, you know, we can download into Mac Jones's mainframe that he hasn't seen before. I like their chances. I don't know if it's going to be this high-scoring affair. I don't even know if the Patriots cover 4.5, I think,
four and a half points.
The number we're looking at.
They're getting 4.5.
Right? They're getting 4.5 points. Yeah, I don't know if you see the Patriots winning by 4.5, but I very much.
They're getting 4.5.
Oh, they're getting four and a half. Okay.
So the point has the plus at the beginning of it.
Oh, whatever. I don't gamble. That's why I'm happy I am not involved in
it. Take that Odyssey gambling training session here, did you?
I needed to sleep that day, Odyssey. No, I like the Patriots' chances. I could come in here on Monday and be completely, totally wrong, but I feel very good about this team. I feel good about the offense, which is a weird thing.
Now, let me ask you guys this. Are you still feeling good about the Patriots' chances if they don't win the turnover battle? That seems to be a narrative. Not a narrative. That seems to be a trend that they do not win games unless they win the turnover battle. So that kind of plays into what Andy Hart was saying is they kind of need Josh Allen to be a little turnover happy, throw a ball right into J.C. Jackson's hands, Jamie Collins, one of these guys, have 1 to 2 turnovers. And I personally think that if the Patriots don't get 1 or 2 turnovers from Josh Allen, there's no chance they win.
Yeah, that's going to be very,
no
very...
chance.
That's gonna be, that will bring that margin to the thinnest follicle of hair you can possibly find if they don't win the turnover
football.
Battle. And that's just an across-the-board thing. I know there's some correlation to the Patriots as well, but there's winning the turnover battle. I think teams that win the turnover battle win like 80% of their games or something like that. So, and especially for this Patriots team and just the way it's built, it does seem like there's a lot of... Even some of the Brady playoff games, but especially this season and last season, it almost relied on the quarterback of the opposing team sailing a ball into like Devin McCourty's hands, like just complete miscommunication with the receiver. Josh Allen has that in his game. He's not exactly been the most pristine passer this late in the season either. He threw 3 interceptions against the Falcons, I think. His completion percentage is way down. It's like around 50, 51, 52, I think, in that span of time. And then
a game which they won, by the way.
Right. And then even if you...
Why'd they win? Because
he ran the ball.
I was going to say because the Falcons are really, really bad.
And they also... Well, also because Matt Ryan decided to showboat on a touchdown that was not a touchdown.
Listen,
that was such a garbage play. That cost me a lot of money.
Keep in mind, the Panthers didn't have a kicker. The Panthers didn't have a healthy kicker when they played the Bills as well and weren't allowed to kick field goals. So that there's a bit of an asterisk on that game as well there. But no, I agree with you, Tyler, because I did mention that the Bills wide receivers have like the third most dropped passes in the league in the last month as well. Even if you factor that into his completion percentage, it's one lower. Him and Mac are 22nd and 23rd right now in that since November in adjusted completion percentage. And it's the swing from pre-Patriots bye week to post-Patriots bye week with Mac is stark. He's simply not playing well. he's throwing the ball to the other team. We all watch the Colts game.
Bad time to do that, too.
And it's not exact. Yeah, it's not exactly like a Trayvon Diggs interception where Brady throws the ball to Leonard Fournette, who volleys it 10 yards down the field, and then Trayvon Diggs gets first team All-Pro because of it. He's throwing the ball to the other team, and he's not playing well. And it's been like that since November. So that's why I'm on the Bills for this game, because I find it really hard to believe that this has been so consistent in Mac's game in the last month that I don't think he's going to kick it against Buffalo. And I think Josh Allen will be able to run the ball against the Patriots, unfortunately. I don't want to pick the Bills in this game, but I don't have a choice. Mac Jones has left me with no choice.
617-779-7937. We ask you, do you think the Patriots need the Bills' help to win the game tonight? I absolutely believe so. I think if you even have a clean game with no turnovers from each side, I still probably pick the Bills. I don't think that it'll be a blowout in either way. I think the Patriots do need the Bills' help in order to do this. We talk about the Josh Allen versus Mac Jones matchup almost way too much, more so than any other aspect in this game. Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly, who we all know his name, of course, he was on ESPN Radio talking about this game, and he sees this coming down to not just the quarterbacks, but two different aspects, the trenches and the coaches.
Almost reminds me to a certain point when we played the Dolphins with Marino. I don't know how many times probably a couple times we wind up playing the Dolphins three times during the course of a year. But, you know, you look at what they're doing now. I look at it as it's a battle of the coaches. I mean, McDermott, some of the things he said after that last game, he didn't want to hear anybody talk about, Belichick. He wanted all about the Bills. And I think there's a little rivalry between them. I love it. I mean, you've got a young quarterback against, Josh Allen. You've got the number one defense in the league on our side. I think it's going to be a battle of the gods up front. I love it. I can't wait to see it.
So if the game is really going to come down to coaches and trenches, that's much different than talking about a rookie quarterback on the road going up against the $260 million Josh Allen quarterback.
Yes.
Ryan, just a quick question since we have to break here soon. You can actually answer this on the other side if you want.
I will.
If the game comes down to coaches and trenches, don't the Patriots win?
I'll tell you
we'll
right
get to
after
it
this
next.
Commercial.
After I'm a trending.
No, and I'll explain why after.
After a award-winning trending by John Anderson.
Woo!
Mac Jones joins Merloni and Fourier every Patriots Monday.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Super Wild Card Weekend kicks off today with the Raiders traveling to Cincinnati to take on the Cincinnati Bengals at 4:30 and the New England Patriots traveling to Buffalo to take on the Bills at 8:15. Tickets still available. The Patriots have ruled out starting left tackle Isaiah Wynn. He's Isaiah Wynn-jured and have 12 players listed as questionable.
Can you turn off his mic?
Jalen Mills, I'm doing trending. Why would you turn off the mic?
He's
in the
been
middle of the
Isaiah Wynn-jured?
Yeah, he's Isaiah Wynn-jured. Jalen Mills also remains in COVID protocol for the Patriots, but he still has an outside shot to clear protocols and return in time. As for the Bills, they have no players listed on their injury report. Celtics had their three-game win streak. No one injured on them. Celtics had their three-game injured streak snapped last night, 111-99 in the loss to the 76ers, in a game that was put away early courtesy to a 28-2 first-quarter run by the Sixers. Celtics turned the ball over 20 times in the loss. The Seas will return back home to take on the Chicago Bulls at the Garden tonight. All eyes on that one. Tip off at 8:30 p.m.
Which, by the way,
simultaneous snap with the Patriots-Bills game.
You cannot get into Celtics game starting today with a negative COVID test. You actually have to have a proof of vaccination. So
okay.
That goes into effect tonight at the Garden.
I'm seeing John Mayer in March at the Garden. I got an email about that
we
as well.
We have him, so. An hour, and you're talking about John Mayer. Hurry up!
That was 4 seconds, and then you clapping at
four
me,
seconds.
Doubled the time, and now
valuable
me clapping
time.
At you, triple
up.
The time,
Let's
and now
go.
We're going back and
like
forth.
This.
Bruins will look
like
to build
this.
On their four-game win streak this afternoon as they take on the Nashville Predators. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 1 p.m. I'm John Anderson. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
I don't think it's going to be much of a fact, to be honest with you. Cold is cold. You know, when I played with the Patriots, we always practiced outside in the elements. It didn't matter. Unless it was lightning, we were outside in the elements. And I think, y'all, as far as the Bills are concerned, as long as the wind's not gusting, like the first time they played up in Orchard Park, the Bills will be able to do what they do, and it's all going to come down to Josh Allen anyway.
And if it all comes down to Josh Allen, I think everyone would probably agree that unless he craps the bed and pees down his leg, he's probably going to play a very good game, 250 yards, 50 rushing yards, 300 total, two touchdowns, and the Bills win. But if he turns it over, I think the Patriots have a pretty good chance, and they have to win the turnover margins to do it. We played a cut before the break from Jim Kelly, who said this game is about trenches and coaches, Bill versus Sean. And, of course, the Patriots line versus the Bills line on both sides of the ball. John, let's start with you. If Jim Kelly is right that this game is about trenches and coaches, isn't that a good news for the Patriots?
It's a good news for the Patriots coaching, one could say. However, I think personnel-wise, it probably favors the Bills because, as you heard in the award-winning trending, Isaiah Wingard will not be in this game, and I do not love Justin Herron playing left tackle, as that is what happened in the Miami game when Wynn went out of that game. They just stuck Herron at left tackle. They're not really messing with moving Trent Brown over or anything like that. They want Mike Onwenu as the sixth lineman, I guess, so they can just bull over the entire defense. Justin Herron can't pass block pretty well, and I know there are ways around it. You can keep somebody in. You can have Jonnu Smith there to chip. You have a running back, whatever. The problem for me is that Buffalo has a ton of pretty good pass rushers, and if you look at their alignment, they can all pretty much pass rush from anywhere. And they all used to be on the Panthers too, because Sean McDermott just steals guys that used to play well for him. Harrison Phillips, Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes, rookie Gregory Rousseau, all four of them great pass rushers, can rush from any spot. Mario Addison only comes from really one side, so they have five guys that can really get after the passer. So it is going to have to be one of those games as far as the Bills' defense versus the Patriots in the trenches, where I think Mac just might have to get the ball out really fast. Maybe it helps if
He's very good at that.
Yeah, so it has come down later. I sound like a broken record repeating myself saying in the last month. But in the beginning of the season, that was true. He had like the third highest time to pass in the league, third lowest, excuse me, so third ranked. Since then, it's not that anymore. It's more around middle of the league. So we'll have to see how they approach that. But then on the other side, like the Patriots run defense has not played very well, and there is their tackles aren't great at run blocking, but their interior is of the Bills. And then for pass, it's sort of the opposite. Like, their tackles are not good at pass blocking, and the interior guys are good. Matthew Judon, I don't know what's up with him. Could be an injury there or something. But last time these two teams played, he could not get any. He could not get by Deion Dawkins, the left tackle, at all. I don't think he had a single pressure in that game, so he's been useless in the last month.
It's almost like Judon has hit a wall, because I know when he was in Baltimore, he wasn't utilized as much as he's being used up here. And you got to wonder, I wonder if that is a reason why he might have dropped off a little bit.
It has to be. It's stark.
I wonder if he's hurt.
I think he was sixth in pressures before the Patriots bye week, and since then he has won. It's like, so he's like, 200th in the league or something, whatever that is. And the Christian Barmore injury is significant too, because he had the highest pass rush win rate of any interior defensive lineman in the NFL.
Barmore
since the bye week. It was Christian Barmore. So, and I think he's going to play, but is he 100%?
Yeah, and then outside of those two,
it's basically like Kyle Van Noy blitzing is the only other hope they really have of getting after Josh Allen.
We're
so
screwed.
I think Belichick probably has a better acumen as a coach coaching players in the trenches, but personnel wise, I think that's advantage Bills as well.
Advantage Belichick, advantage Patriots in the ground game. Run it to the right. Don't send it to Justin Herron's side. That's why you have Trent Brown. That's why you have a 6'8", 900-pound human being to run into his side. It's so simple.
Can we address that?
Like, no more trench talk. Okay, we're good.
I want to continue the trench talk. Mariana Trench? Yes. 30 more seconds of trench talk. Why are we starting Justin Herron at left tackle? Just because that's what he did in Week 18? Like, why don't we put Trent Brown over there?
The rationale I'm hearing is that they don't want to mess up. Shaq Mason is one of only a couple Patriots who even like sniffed All Pro. JC and Slater got second team, but there were some votes here and there.
And Joe Cardona. Don't forget Joe Cardona.
I won't forget Joe Cardona. I won't forget Matt Judon. Shaq Mason got a couple votes, and it's because him and Trent Brown are bulldozers, and they don't want to. If they don't have to, they don't want to mess that up. They'd rather keep those two next to each other. And then just put on Wenyu as a third lineman over there and just completely bull that side. Like, don't even try to hide what you're doing. Like, just, we have
run
three pile drivers here, and they are going to turn your defense into a lot for development.
By the way, Matt Judon, in 2020, 565 snaps at defense. This year, 877 snaps at defense. Injury would be a really convenient thing to say. There's just a good chance that he's playing more and being used more than he was being used in Baltimore.
Yeah, maybe he's just gassed. It could be simple as that. It's a long season. The longest season ever, by the way.
Longest season.
Let's go to a call real fast, because I want to throw out the question. Who has the most to gain from a Super Bowl win? We got answers all over the board. I'm Merlone and Fourier, but let's say hello to Mike in Framingham. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Hey, how you doing? You were saying that the Patriots just keep somebody in the chip to help with the left tackle. But defenses aren't stupid. They're going to have a guy, if they see the guy chipping, he'll get another rusher.
So, can you turn into radio, please? You're a sports radio caller veteran, and you can't make these mistakes. All right, the call stinks.
He's having his Justin Herron game right there. Mike and Framingham knows better. I mean, they could some plays. They could other plays. Patriots could know they're going to do that. Like, they're not. The offense isn't dumb either.
I don't even know how to address that.
Move on. Next point, Tyler.
Let's act like that. Justin, I actually delete that last 2 minutes from the podcast.
Can we dump that? It never actually
happened.
We do like.
Let's move on. 3, 2, 1. Hey, back here. I'm Merlone and Fourier. It is here on the producer show. I want to ask you a question. We did throw out a Merlone and Fourier. Was who has the most to gain from a Super Bowl win? How is the answer not
Mike
Bill
McCarthy?
Yes, Mike McCarthy. Thank you, Christian Fourier. How is the answer not Bill Belichick, Mac Jones? Isn't that like the easiest number one answer?
Yeah, Belichick winning without Brady probably takes the cake.
But Fourier is saying he doesn't need to win. He already has like evened up the divorce. I don't agree with that at all.
Maybe in the eyes of people who know better, we were here, we watched the Cam season, and especially watching this season, we recognize how much of a miraculous season it was for them to go 7-9 with that roster. Like that probably is enough for me. But that's not enough for the masses, and you're going to be having these arguments till the end of time. If the Brady Belichick argument, especially outside of New England, will never end if Belichick does not win one without Brady. And even if he does, like, it obviously goes on and on. If he wins one, then the easy answer to that question is Belichick, because Brady went to the Golden State Warriors, who didn't have a quarterback,
yep,
and won a Super Bowl, which is a lot less, I'm not as impressed by that as I would be if Belichick won the Super Bowl with
right.
this team this year. And it's not like it's a bad roster or anything either, but it's definitely not what the 19 Buccaneers carried into 2020 either.
Right. I mean, you could make the argument that they probably were a quarterback and, you know, a couple pieces away. I love this topic because I think you can make a legitimate argument for the majority of the people in this category.
True.
Bill Belichick, Mac Jones. That's great.
Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford are two good ones.
Josh Allen McVay. Doesn't do it for me. Matt Stafford instantly falls. If he makes the Super Bowl, I think he starts getting talked about in the realm of Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger.
For sure.
The borderline Hall of Famers.
Borderline Hall of Famers really shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, but you know, Matt Stafford hasn't really done, you know, anything postseason wise. The one name that never came up, and it was just almost like an afterthought, was Tom Brady.
I was just thinking that.
And
right.
I don't understand why.
Because go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, when we brought it up yesterday, it was like, oh, Tom Brady. No.
He doesn't need it.
First of all, like 8 Super Bowls. No big deal. He has 8 Super Bowls. He could sit there. Tom Brady could put every Super Bowl ring on and take one of those Bill Russell, like, cute cheesecake pose pictures, the Bill Russell picture where he's like, Tom Brady could do that. He'd have 8 Super Bowl rings. And, oh, by the way, the one thing that I've heard many bright people on this station say, if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, he is going to retire. Think about that. Think about that for 1 second. Tom Brady, I'm 31. Tom Brady has been playing for more than half my life. And then you go into a football season that doesn't have Tom Brady. That's effed up. That's freaking crazy to me. He's going to be done if he wins another Super Bowl. There's a very good chance that he hops on a horse and Giselle saddles on a
camera. Or he looks in the camera and he says, no one's ever won 3 in a row.
And he's very possible. I'm going to stop when I suck. He doesn't look like he sucks right now. If he wins another Super Bowl, there's a chance that this could be the end for him.
I think that is
a massive, massive deal. This is an institution, a brand, the Brady brand. He's not going to be
around
anymore.
It's a T-shirt with his name on it. That costs $50. Damn right.
I think that's wild. And everybody else is, no. It's just 8 Super Bowl. Well, yeah, it's 8 Super Bowls. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody will ever do that.
And wouldn't this be his most impressive accomplishment, winning at 44? Cyril Grayson's out. That's the guys he's working with. And he's actually out of the game tomorrow.
Mike Evans and Scotty Miller are his top two receivers. Scotty Miller, he does got a little something-something with, but I'm not sure he's quite there with Breshad Perriman or the NFL's Tyler Johnson, not to be confused with the other Tyler Johnson in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And John Brown, who they signed from the Jaguars
He's cooked.
Smokey Brown's not going to.
Smoke Brown.
It's not the same thing. Like, we had Peter earlier this week, and he was telling us, he was saying, like,
Peter King.
Peter King. And he was saying, like, okay, in 2017, like, people give Brady a lot of credit. Like, that was Edelman. No Edelman. He was working with Chris Hogan the whole year. He's not working with Breshad Perriman and John Brown the whole year.
Right.
I know Perriman had the one touchdown against the Bills, but like it's a drag route. There's no receiver within 10 yards of him. It's not exactly the same thing as being able to hit Chris Hogan on a like back shoulder fade 30 yards down the sideline. Like, Brady's not going to have that with these receivers, and he doesn't have the defense, especially the secondary, is not going to be good enough to necessarily offset that if push comes to shove and the passing game isn't going as well, and he has to just basically force feed it to Mike Evans and Gronk the entire playoff run.
I just think that it's crazy to me that Tom Brady would be an afterthought in this discussion, which is not to say that guys like Bill Belichick or Aaron Rodgers even could stand to really kind of change things as far as how they're perceived by the national sports world if they win a Super Bowl. Tom Brady winning his 8th Super Bowl, I think, is not a big enough deal to people. It's almost like, well. They're not even the favorite. I wouldn't even say like they're the second favorite to come out of the NFC right now.
Especially after the injuries.
We have seen this game. I have to throw something on a Bucks future when I drive up to New Hampshire today. We've seen this game too many times. Tom Brady being disrespected going to the postseason. How have we as a society, like, every year the cognitive dissonance meter just resets with Tom Brady? We come into the playoffs, everybody's picking the Rams and the Packers and the Chiefs.
Good
and
luck.
Again, nobody's picking the Buccaneers. What happened?
What happened to us?
We have seen this too many times.
I mean,
I think he's retiring if they lose as well. because I think he understands that the financial situation that that team is in. Like, Chris Godwin's gone after this year. They can't afford to bring him in. And I think he knows better than to just go do it again on the other Golden State Warriors in the league that have a great roster but maybe not a quarterback, i.e. the Denver Broncos or the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think Brady knows that you don't do that twice. The only thing I could see happening is you go into next year and maybe if Brady retires, maybe if Mac like tears his ACL in week 3, I think he'd come back
but with Brady. I think that's just more of like a I don't know if I want to do it. It's not. I don't think it's a matter of if he's capable of doing it. He has shown in the absolute worst times, brand new team, can't practice in theory, can't get together, can't develop stuff, that he can go and completely transform an entire franchise. Tyler, is there another answer that's not Tom Brady that I have not brought up yet?
Yes, there is. So you went with Brady. What was your second answer? If it's not Belichick and Mac Jones, who gets your vote for the most to gain with the Super Bowl win? Who was your answer?
I didn't give one necessarily. I guess I'll also say Brady. Brady. Yeah.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see.
We'll see. I think it's Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow is the guy with the most to gain if it's not Belichick and Mac Jones. And you know why? The Bengals and Cincinnati have been to the playoffs like, what, 15 times, won a bunch with Marvin Lewis, never won a single game with Marvin Lewis in the playoffs.
It was a layup wild card weekend loss to the Texans every single time the Bengals have made the playoffs in the last 15 years.
You can thank Vontaze Burfict for knocking the hell out of Antonio Brown is the reason why they did not beat the Steelers in advance to the next round, because they had the game.
You said you were 31 years old.
I currently am 31
years
old.
You've never experienced a Bengals playoff win in your life.
And you know what? I don't feel like any less
never.
Of a human being for not experiencing.
Well, to be fair, the A.J. McCarron year, maybe
Joe
Dalton
Burrow,
doesn't get hurt.
More than Aaron Rodgers, more than like Matt Stafford, more than Patrick Mahomes.
Rodgers definitely does, because the whole like 6 NFC championship game losses is definitely
think about
on Rodgers.
The year that Aaron Rodgers has had. I mean, even the idea that Boomer and Geo could float out the notion that Aaron Rodgers is going to boycott the Super Bowl, which is total BS, by the way.
And everyone
bought
it.
But the fact that when you hear it, you're like,
I'm not putting
it
past him.
I don't think it's that crazy. Exactly, Ty. I wouldn't put it past him. Tells you exactly the kind of year and the kind of mindset that Aaron Rodgers is in.
But
more than Joe Burrow's more than Aaron Rodgers.
But Joe Burrow, if he goes from, like, Joe Burrow year one was who Mac Jones is right now. Extreme, massive leap in year two. Star-studded.
Except literally no offensive line in front of him.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Still kind of no offensive line in front of him, but it doesn't matter because he's so good.
More offensive line talk.
If Joe Burrow goes from, like, you know, this guy who won a national championship, greatest college season ever, was really good in year one and became a superstar in year two, took a franchise who hasn't won a playoff game in 32 years, takes them to win 3 games in the playoffs, and then wins a Super Bowl with the Cincinnati Bengals, that would be more impressive than I think anything that anyone could do besides Belichick winning with a rookie quarterback to answer Tom Brady's Super Bowl win last year. So for me, it's Belichick, Mac Jones 1. I think that's obvious. I would go with Joe Burrow 2.
Mike McCarthy is no longer the worst answer I've heard of this discussion.
Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan not on here?
No. Ooh, actually,
you don't think so?
No.
I would.
Jimmy
yeah.
G in the shadow of Brady. Kyle Shanahan in the shadow of 28-3 and the fourth quarter. Both of them, Jimmy and Kyle, for the fourth quarter against the Chiefs as well.
Now,
Garoppolo is going to be a backup here sooner than later.
Okay, Glenn.
Like, Jimmy would have to. No, he'll be on the Houston Texans next year.
But wouldn't you want to see hypothetically, if the Niners were to win a Super Bowl, they're not doing it on the back of Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, he's not leading them to win a Super Bowl. They're doing it on defense, run game, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, true, but he's
been good lately. He was really good last week.
Right, he's still the Super Bowl winning quarterback, though. He'll still get traded in the offseason.
Yeah,
but
it would shed a lot of, like, the bad rep that Jimmy has of being a game manager. He can't win with him. I don't even consider it because there's no options
in that Super Bowl except for one pass. But
I don't even consider it because there's almost no chance that Jimmy and the Niners win. I just don't see that as a possibility.
Well, the whole world, everyone and their mother's taking them against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday.
Good luck with that one, by the way.
Let's break a little bit early because you made an interesting point here, Ryan Gardner, here on the producer's show about Tom Brady potentially walking away on top.
Blind squirrel.
I think it could happen either way, no matter what the result of this playoff run for the Tampa Bay Bucs led by 44-year-old Tom Brady. I'm kind of convinced that this is it for him, and I'll explain next.
After the end of a good fight,
You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Do you feel like you're playing your best football?
I feel like it's, you know, for me, always about the team success. So it's hard to compare one year to another. I feel like I want to play as a championship level player. That's what I've said for a long time. And when I'm not able to do that, you know, I said a long time ago, when I suck, I'll retire. But what I really meant was when, you know, I'm not capable of leading the team to victory, then someone else has to do the job. I feel like I can do that. You know, I just love being out there with the guys, see if we can go, you know, beat a really tough Eagle team. This team's going to challenge us, and I'm going to have to play good football.
Back here on the Producers Show, John Anderson, Ryan Garvin, Tyler Devitt, and that is the voice of 44-year-old Tom Brady, who, that to me, when I first heard that cut this morning, that seemed like a major shift. That is a guy who said, when I suck, I'm going to retire. Tom Brady's never going to suck. He might be 55 before he ends up actually being a bad quarterback. Now he's saying, unless I can be a championship-level quarterback and lead my team, being capable of leading the team to victory, if I'm not capable of doing that, then I'll hang it up. In Tom Brady's mind, that's not like being Jimmy Garoppolo and a game manager. That's being a guy who can elevate everyone around him. Did you guys sense when you heard that cut that was a major shift? Like, I believe that's a concerning cut for guys like Chris Curtis who live and die by everything that Tom Brady says. It seems like that's a shift for a guy who's preparing to retire after this year.
I mean, it's like I said last segment, though. Like, he knows that the Buccaneers roster is not sustainable, likely, after the season. Maybe one more season of it. But
Antonio Brown's done. Chris Godwin's not coming back.
You know, that is a team that, since, you know, the pre-Brady days, has been pretty much crushing the draft, basically post-Winston. Probably since Mike Evans, to be honest with you. They've hit on a lot of guys, fourth, fifth, sixth round, that have turned into quality starters for them. That eventually comes back down because, you know, the draft, for the most part, you know, you give the GMs credit or whatever, but mostly it's just they're throwing darts at the wall. It's not entirely based on it's not as science-based as I think people make it out to be. But, like, that, I don't think it's going to, like, basically what Brady's saying is, like, when the team around me sucks, I'm not going to do this again. Like,
yeah,
I can't go somewhere. Like, it wasn't easy for Tom Brady to go into a new place completely, no matter how good the roster was. Put the roster aside. We all know it was great. It was great in 19, but it had Winston. Same roster the next year, except it had Brady.
He went to a super team.
He knows that, like, going into a place and completely altering the culture of a team is not something that is easy, and Tom Brady did it. And unless he went and did it in another place, maybe a place like Pittsburgh he could walk into because there's already a great culture. Tomlin's got that side of it figured out, but he's not going to do it again for another team, and I don't think he'll be able to do it for the Bucs next year, and he probably knows that too.
Let me throw this Bucs quarterbacks coach, Clyde Christensen's his name, Ryan, and he had an interesting quote to the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud. We know Rick Stroud, been on the station many times. The headline was, could this be it for Tom Brady? And here's the quote. From Clyde Christensen, the right-hand man, the quarterback's coach for the Bucs. He goes, I'm your typical fan, and I'll be thinking, is this the last time we're going to see Tom Brady? Stroud writes, if this is the last time Brady laces up his cleats, whether he wins his eighth Super Bowl or not, he will be going out on top. Records broken across the board, most yards in his career, touchdowns, setting a league record for completions, second most attempts in his career. Brady talked about how he went from, well, when I suck, I'm going to retire. Now it's being a championship-level quarterback. His kids are now 9, 12, and 14. I think all of this is adding up. And Ryan, you mentioned before, hey, my mic over here. You mentioned before the break that if Brady wins, he would go out. I'm convinced that this is probably Brady's last season based upon what he just said, his shifting of when he will retire. Clyde Christensen, his quarterback's coach, saying, I'm wondering if this is it for Tom Brady. His kids are now getting a little bit older. His team's not as good as it was around him. I think the confluence of all these events has me to believe I'm leaning towards him retiring more so than coming back for a year at 45 years old next year.
Well, I think the thing that Tom Brady needs to figure out, and he might already know the answer, is does he enjoy the new experience that he has had over the last 2 years? There's a big part of me that thinks that Tom Brady really, really liked being the new guy. You know, having to learn his way around Tampa, not just the humdrum routine of being a Patriot. I think he enjoyed building this team up and you know, kind of being the piece to bring it
signing
all together.
All of his friends.
Well, I think if he wanted to go and do it again, he absolutely could do it. This shocked me. I don't know why. Do you guys put a lot of stock into the 17th game as far as how it skews statistics in the NFL? Because I don't. I don't think it really makes
only
sense.
There are instances where it does, but there are instances when it doesn't.
Yeah, only when the player plays in 17 games, like TJ Watt played in, 15, 16, so it doesn't really matter?
Tom Brady played in 17 games this year because he doesn't get hurt. He had 5,316 passing yards.
Is that good?
43 touchdowns with only 12 interceptions. That is insanely good. If you just read quarterback X has 5,316 yards, you'd be like, that's really good. 44-year-old Tom Brady threw for over 5,000 yards this year. He absolutely could keep going if he wants to keep going. I think the whole idea of him sucking and not being at a championship level, I don't believe that. I still think he is that damn good. And John hit on it earlier in the show, and he's like, watch out for Tampa Bay, because all of a sudden, like, nobody believes in them, apparently. Tom Brady gets off on that stuff, and he might just do a scorched earth FU tour part four.
Oh, the same, it's happened,
making his way through
the
playoffs.
Teams, the Bucks and the Chiefs. It's
Tampa
happening with
Bay
both of them.
And Green
it's gonna be
Bay.
It's gonna be freaking Bucks Chiefs again. Like
was my prediction going into the year. Look, you're right, Tyler. His kids are getting
Thank
older.
You.
He's in a good place. I think that, you know, I think being in Florida and not Foxborough does wonders for a happy wife and happy kids.
Ask Pete Shepard.
When you're on the boat every day, Pete Shepard is the mayor of Florida. And of course, he's a happier man. If he wants to walk away, I would understand it if he doesn't win a Super Bowl. If he does, I think it's eight. He's done everything. You know,
would you be shocked if he does, though, if he walks away no matter what? I think this is setting up for it.
If he does not win a Super Bowl and he walks away, I would be surprised.
I would be.
If he wins a Super Bowl, I think it's the perfect out. I think he's going to be 45 going into the next season. He always maintained 45 is what it's going to be. I think it would be the perfect way. You can't beat that Peyton Manning. You can't beat that Ray Lewis. You just can't. 8 Super Bowls, the greatest of all time, untouchable, mic drop. And that's all he needs to do.
Good morning, Peter in Salem. You're calling in about the Tom Brady comments. Did you see them the same way I did, that this is a shift in Tom and that he could be hanging up after this year?
No, actually. I actually thought he upped the ante when he said that.
Really?
I think any run-of-the-mill quarterback could say, you know, I'll quit when I suck. But the fact that he went into more detail, and like you said, he's feeling better now that he's in Florida. That's better for his longevity. That's better for his family life. I mean, I think he might be amped up. He might be. I think that he actually put more thought and more emotion into that, and more, you know, just more where he was at right then, as opposed to that previous comment where, like I said, anyone could throw that out. Oh, when I suck, you know what I mean?
Peter, 10 seconds.
I just didn't get that vibe from that.
Do you think the Bucks have a real chance to win this year?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily, I'm not saying they're going to win at all or anything, but I'm saying as far as he goes in his career, I didn't get that at all, that he's going to retire next year, that you were saying.
I kind of like the way he heard that, as like as he's upping the ante. That would be crazy if he's like, well, you know, I said if I suck, I'll walk away. But now it's championship level, so I'm here till I'm 50.
I think Ray Lewis did the same thing with the Ravens this last year. Like, he basically said, he tore his triceps or something, or bicep, and said, don't put me on IR, and then told the teammates, hey, this is it for me. Play your ass off.
Well, yeah, because he's going to rub deer antler spray on it. And totally legal methods of coming back quickly.
I mean, he was horrible. That might be the worst playoff run by any player ever on a Super Bowl winning team.
Final minute of the show here on the producer's show. That is the game tomorrow. Game number one is Eagles at Bucks. We can talk about that next week, of course. What do you guys think happens with today's action? Let's start with Raiders Bengals.
Take the Bengals.
I'm taking the Bengals.
Easy parlay, by the way. Money line parlay I'm taking today. Bengals, Bucks, Chiefs. Money line is like plus 117 right now.
There we go. And we talked about, of course, the first half hour of the show, the Patriots trip to Buffalo. How do you guys see it playing out? Do you think the Patriots pull off the upset?
I'm picking Patriots.
I am on Bucks. Oh, sorry, Bills 30-21.
So you think the Bills cover? Oh, the Bills cover. There we go.
I hate giving scores. Patriots win 3-2.
Christian Fourier 2.0 over there.
I hate picking scores.
I think the Bills win 27-20. And the Patriots do not win the turnover battle.
Just win. I don't want to talk about the Celtics this week.
No. You know what? I think I need to fix that my prediction.
Right?
I don't want to talk Celtics.
I don't want to talk about the Celtics.
I don't want to talk Bruins. Come on, Patriots. We need you.
P-A-T-A-S. Pat. Yeah!
The Ken and Curtis Show follows us next here on the WEI Superstation. We appreciate you listening. For John Anderson, for Ryan Garvin, for the producer of the producer show, Justin Turpin. I'm Tyler Devitt. Find us on the Odyssey app if you're just joining us. Hit that rewind button. The Ken and Curtis Show is next here on WEI.
Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.